Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kaylin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Muscle in the after Christmas is out. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world, even at the North Pole. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, or have a sleigh just fly over, and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Dad?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Or more like a snow cone. Consider now. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk snow cone. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, Dad, how you doing?
I am good. I'm actually glad that we're not talking snow cones or cookies or anything dessert-ish. I am so cookied out right now. I don't care if I never see another cookie for at least another week.
this isn't the foodie episode?
This is not the foodie episode, which is a good thing. I'm actually, like, looking forward to getting back to real macros instead of the holiday macros I've called myself tracking. So,
well, I hope you track better than you did the play.
yeah, definitely. So how were your holidays?
Very edible. Everything seemed like food.
Everything has been food for weeks. And we are like how many weeks out from Buffalo? Not enough.
Oh, my God. Romer, don't be listening to the show.
I know. We hope Romer's not listening. Because we're going to have to pull some drastic measures to get ready to get on that state. Now, it's not that bad. It's not. But it kind of feels like it after too many monster cookies. But I tell you what, my sister made extra large monster cookies just for me. So how could I not? How could I not eat two or three or four?
You had.
Or five. I had to.
But it would have been a crime against the family.
It would have been sad. But I digress, because we're not here tonight to talk about my cookie weakness. We are here tonight.
No?
Because we're not, no. But we do have a very awesome guest, and I'm going to let you go ahead and cue the show.
Well, I think this fella is a lot stronger than we are and probably has a lot more strong points than we're willing to give ourselves, and probably has been through more strong moments in his life than we're ever imagined. But I will digress as well, and I'll let the man introduce himself. Mr. Strong, please go ahead and introduce yourself again.
All right. Thank you very much. My name is Daniel Strong. I'm from Waldorf, Maryland. I'm a natural fitness competitor, competing with various organizations, but usually competing with the IMBA, PMBA, and I've done some NPC competing as well, and, plan to continue to do that naturally. I've had some good success on the natural circuit, and I'm also an amputee, so a lot of times it makes my situation a little more unique, and I try to, just use that to my advantage. I own a fitness center in Waldorf, Maryland. It's called Strong Fitness. We do personal training here. We do fitness boot camps and just overall general membership. I'm here. A lot of times we help some competitors with contest prep, and recently my cousin Donovan Strong has come in, and he has a group called Strong Physiques. He also does my nutrition side as well, and he works with a lot of competitors here that are competing on the scene as well. So trying to do a lot and trying to keep things moving forward.
Well, it definitely sounds like a lot, and it sounds like there's a lot of positive momentum that's going on, and I'm gonna take a step back to where you had said that you are an amputee, and you haven't always been, I guess, lack of words here, but you haven't always been, I guess, in that situation. And I would like very much if you could share with us kind of your story on how you got to that point, because I understand there was a pretty bad accident that led up to that.
Yes. I tell you, now it has been about, come next year, it'll be 11 years. Funny how time passes so quickly, but yet it seems like the accident was just yesterday. Quite honestly, my wife and I at the time were traveling to North Carolina from Maryland to visit my godmother. She was pregnant at the time. My wife's name was Sandra. She was pregnant at the time, about 6 months pregnant. We had also our two-year-old daughter, Danielle, in the vehicle with us. And unfortunately, I lost control of the vehicle. A tractor-trailer came along and hit us. It killed my wife at that moment. It also was responsible for all of my injuries, various injuries. Of course, most only see the amputation, but there were, many other injuries involved with that. But the blessing of it all was our daughter, Danielle, at the time, which was two, survived the accident with nothing at all, just no injuries. And that, I look at that as a big blessing from God. So if there was anything of a shining light in such a tragedy, that was part of it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's something that a lot of us don't think about, but like you're bringing up, is there's so much more involved than just what happened to you. And, I appreciate you bringing that out and, stretching that out so it makes sense to everyone, because there's so many things that people say, it does have people reflect on their own lives. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, poor me. But then there's the thing that you're thinking about. You're already, looking at the outreach to where mm-hmm. there's so many more people involved. And we're talking about a big, life-changing event. And it's mm-hmm. not something you forget. I mean, you do get past it because life goes on. We know that. But there's a lot of mental aspects and mental sufferings as well as the physical damage. So could you elaborate on that for us, please?
Oh, most definitely. Many times, I'm sure some of my close friends have heard me say this. I know my family, they have heard me say this, that the psychological and emotional pain from it at times seemed much greater than the physical. My wife and I shared a very unique and special relationship. We just had, honestly, one of those marriages and relationships that seemed like it was made in heaven. If you'd ever thought of someone as being your soulmate, she was certainly that. And so initially, and even beyond, that was something that I just found so hard to deal with. I mean, it was with me day by day. I could never shake it. It seemed like just the thought of, why did this happen? You know, why me? You know, why did God allow my best friend, my wife?
Mm-hmm.
I really was not thinking about myself. It was just really thinking about her and the loss that I felt with her dying in the accident. It was just something that was so hard to get through, and it was truly a day-by-day process. It was day-by-day, along with friends and family, people that I could, trust in and talk to. It just took time. I mean, the emotional pain, sometimes I thought I would never get over that.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems to plague you from waking up thinking about it, going to sleep thinking about it, dreaming about it. It seemed like it was just a constant. But again, just like anything, over time, and especially if you have the right support system. I mean, for me, I had the right support system. I was truly blessed to have not only my church family and friends, but my immediate Amen. Family, particularly my mother and my sister, they took care of me like a baby. And that support system and love that I received from them was really what helped sustain me and help me with my healing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I don't even really have words to even, I guess, describe what's going through my mind right now, other than, even in the midst of the tragedy, as you said, you're right, there were several miracles that took place. And your daughter coming out, with basically no effects at all is definitely one of them. And even though you had many injuries, you're still alive, you're still here with us today, but that was in addition to the emotional anguish that you were experiencing. The physical was still there as well, which almost seems overwhelming at this point. So you have multiple injuries, but one of the main ones was that you also lost your leg from the knee down. I don't want to labor too much about how hard that was, because I don't think any of us can really fathom, but I would like to have you elaborate more on, you have that awesome support system, but a big part of that too is your mental attitude and outlook, because you could have very well just thrown your hands up and given up, and it's clear that you did not do that. So, what was it that motivated you or, kept you hanging on to get through the recovery process each day?
Well, I'll tell you, I think we're all born with certain gifts and things that help us to persevere. And for me, it really feels like it was, I've always been a fighter, in the sense of not giving up and always being optimistic, somehow finding a way to look at something as, half full opposed to half empty. I feel that spirit that was in me, it was maybe dormant at the time or it was laying low. It started to come out and just to say, you know what, you're left here. And what are you going to do now type of thing? You have before you some choices. You can honestly just, give up. Some people would understand that. They would.
Mm-hmm.
And these are conversations I have with myself. And on occasion, definitely more than one time, some people would understand that, Danny. You know what? It's been hard. You lost your best friend. People knew what Sandra meant to you. They knew that you're a fitness trainer, you're a bodybuilder, an amateur bodybuilder, and now with the leg gone and various injuries, they could understand the pressure of it. So, you could just kind of check out of things and honestly collect social security and just, just say you're done with it. You're just done with everything. Life has been unfair. And honestly, many times there are times that you feel like doing that, but then the other side of you is like, nope. You've got to fight. You've been left on this earth for a reason, and you need to just continue to move forward. You may not know the answers to everything right now, why it was allowed to happen, and ultimately what your life is going to be, but you can't just lie here and say you're not going to try. You got to try. So I just talked myself into trying, and honestly getting through, again, one day at a time. So I found myself, when I was initially in a wheelchair, wheeling myself into the gym, in the wheelchair. And, of course, feeling sorry for myself to a certain degree is, when you used to walk in the gym and you felt like you were complete, this felt like I was half of me, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing myself into the gym in the wheelchair and learning to do some exercises and ambulate from that wheelchair to a bench. And it was a slow, long process. But little by little, I felt myself getting stronger. I felt myself, once I finally had received a prosthetic, I was starting to, you know, get a little stronger, walk a little better. Still going through a lot of pain with the leg, but ultimately being thankful that I was able to, you know, move and stand up and feel as though I had a little bit of just feeling normal again. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was just a, you know, it was a upward battle, but I continued to strive and fight for it, little by little getting better and better, and things started to get, I won't say easier, but, you know, things started to be a little bit smoother. I started to adapt to being an amputee and accept life as it was at that time and as it is, just knowing that life is not going to be what it used to be. This is your new normal. So that takes some time to get used to, but with the push, I did.
Yes, and I'm going to segue what you just said with that new normal, because that's a big thing with everyone. And, you know, we like you said, there's plenty of ready-made excuses, and God knows people are saying them because there's cliched words and cliched responses, and they don't mean to sound wrong or down you, but it's like, you know, it's almost like they're saying, if that were me, I would have taken option B, you know, and then, and it does, like you said, weigh on you, because there's a lot more of that coming in than a lot of the positive things, because people really don't understand where you are because they're not living that life. So, you know, I have much respect for what you've done and how far you've come. And, you know, not just aside from you recovering, because, you know, the one thing that you missed on saying is the one thing most people forget is there's a lot of time from the day the accident happens to the day people actually see you with you being the frame of mind that you need to be in to be actually seen. There's a lot of in-between time, and there's a lot of void time, and there's a lot of space now where, you know, that the life you had, like you were saying, and now you're learning the life that you're about to live. And a lot of times support drops off. You know, it's not intended, but they get back to living because, you know, they took time what they thought you needed, but it's not. And because you're recovering, you know, there's a lot that happens in between that. And I know you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, when those dark days are there, how did you manage through that?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing I could always say is that take it one day at a time. I know that's a type of a cliche. You hear it all the time. But I can honestly say that is one true statement. Because there are some days you really feel like you won't make it, you can't make it. Sometimes you don't even want to make it. You know, I went through very early on, even contemplating suicide very early on with the accident. Because it felt like life was so bleak, you know, it was just, I felt like there was no hope anymore. And that, you know, of course, as I said, life as I knew it was over. And it's hard to look and accept the new life, especially when you don't know what all of that is really going to consist of. I've never been an amputee, so of course, it's like, you know, what is life going to be like? How difficult will this be? How much pain do I have to go through? And trust me, that plagued my mind often. And there were times, plenty of times, I felt like giving up. And I would just honestly take some still moments to myself, allow myself time to honestly grieve. You know, of course, grieving my wife, but also time to grieve for the loss of my body part, because there were times where, you know, just the whole thought of it all was overwhelming. So you have to give yourself some time when things seem overwhelming, when things seem like you can't go on. It's okay to cry. It's okay to break down. And I gave myself those moments of just allowing myself to just cry and take that all in. But I honestly reminded myself often not to stay in that place. You know, there is space and time for grieving of a loved one. There's space and time for grieving loss to, you know, yourself from a body part or even a relationship or anything. Of course, for me, with certain things being injured and, of course, the leg being lost, I would give myself time to just honestly just cry and get that out of my system. And I just reminded myself not to stay there always. You know, I tried not to make that a daily thing, but at moments of time when I needed that, I would go ahead and just get that out and allow myself to grieve over my loss of the body part.
You know, and that is just so important, because you have to go through those steps and those stages to emotionally be able to get beyond it at some point, or at least learn how to have a healthy relationship with what happened to you to be able to, you know, make progress for your future. And I want to tag back to what Kaylin was talking about earlier about time, because that was something that I was wondering myself from the perspective of how much time did it really take from being in the hospital to being released to going through physical therapy to, you know, wheeling yourself back into that gym?
Well, I'll tell you, it was really a slow, slow process. You figure I probably didn't start feeling comfortable with my leg until I'd say maybe a year out. Even though I was in the gym probably, I'll say maybe 7 months after the accident. But again, it was nothing serious. It was more of a therapy just to be in the gym. I own the gym. The accident came 1 month after me opening the gym. So at that point, I did not know if I was going or coming. I went through a phase where I thought I would just close the gym. I was like, you know what, it's only been a month of me opening. Now this tragedy comes. I'm not even fit to keep the gym open. I mean, who wants to see a guy wheeling himself around in a wheelchair? I mean, I know someone's going to look and think, what can this guy do for me? This is my mindset at the time. You know, how can he train me? He's in a wheelchair. He can't even help himself. And then I started thinking, you know, as an amputee, you know what, that looks like a weakness. That's, you know, the person's going to think, well, they can't help me as much. And so I went through so many different scenarios, so many different excuses. And with it being a new business, it really was a struggle. I mean, a struggle financially, a struggle physically. Mm-hmm. If I'm not in the gym, I'm paying someone else to be in the gym. And I tell you, it just took a lot of, again, support and help and perseverance. I mean, it took a lot of mental fortitude, which did not come overnight, but it was, again, day by day, step by step. I would say probably 3 years in, I was kind of consistently training. Never thought to myself that I would jump back on to the stage. I was only an amateur bodybuilder, and that thought of ever competing was gone. I mean, at this point, I was happy that I was gaining strength, that my body was starting to look better, that I was starting to build some muscle, you know, starting to be able to walk even better on my prosthetic. So that was the main focus. It really wasn't until, and I tell you, one day I started, I guess I could say, little by little gaining my life back. I started to play the drums again. I started to ride my motorcycle again. Various things I could say I took back, even the things I thought I could not do. I was in the gym lifting, and one gentleman said to me, "Yeah, man, you know, you're doing good. Do you ever think you would compete again? Why don't you compete?" And I got upset for a moment. I said, "Well, hey, man, that's out of my mind. I'll never do that again." I said, "Look at me. one leg. Who wants to see somebody on stage with one leg? I was like, nah, you know, that time of my life is over. I won't compete again. I'm just happy to be in the gym. But he kind of dropped the seed when he said that. I looked at myself and I said, you know what? I am coming back pretty good, and I've been able to recapture various things in my life. And why not that? Do you? And I started questioning myself. Do you think you could do it one more time as amputee? And then I said to myself, you need to do it one more time. I don't care if you win. I don't care if you lose. Are you scared? I'm talking to myself now. Are you scared to get on stage as an amputee? Just do it one more time to show yourself that you can do it as an amputee. Even if you never step foot on stage again, you did it. That was something that you took back. Something that you didn't allow the injury to keep you from. So once he said that, he dropped the seed, I started thinking about it. I started Googling, like, amputee bodybuilders, which really it wasn't. And again, this might have been 2012 at the time. And I just didn't see a lot out there. And I was like, I might have saw one or two. And then I was like, well, okay. I called the organization. At that time, it was the NPC, and I was like, hey, look, I'm an amputee. I just want to compete again. If I get up on stage with the prosthetic, can I do that? Can I? Oh, sure. Yeah, you can do it. And, hey, it was history. I set it in my mind to do it, you know, got myself into decent shape, and did pretty well. So I was happy to say that was something that I feel like I was taking my life back. I was taking my life back, and it was something that I could say that I accomplished as an amputee, something that I did once, you know, as a full-body guy, and now as an amputee, I was able to do it again. So it just gave me a lot of joy and feelings of, you know, accomplishment. And that was the start of it all.
Well, it worked out well, obviously. But we're going to get to the listener questions, so I hope you don't mind. Some of them are going back a little because they've been on. Okay, the first one is from Sam, and she has a son that was in an accident, and she wants to know how you dealt with not being consumed by the drugs that you're given for the painkiller.
Okay, that's a good question. I've always been a person that did not like to take medication. So I tried not to take the medication often. I only used it as needed. I really believe working out buffered that. I think that working out really helped, you know, give me the feel-good endorphins, and it helped me to handle the pain a little better. When the pain felt like, you know, it was too great or unbearable, I would take the pain medication, but again, I would really try to take the least amount as possible, and that gave me a greater threshold to be able to handle it, and then things actually got better that way.
Wow, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, wow, she's got another one. So you would recommend some kind of fitness regimen after the rehab has been assigned?
Oh, most definitely. If you can get into the gym quickly, that's what I did. And I believe that it not only helped me physically, but, you know, emotionally and psychologically, the gym helped me. It helped me to feel better.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, okay, she says, thank you. God bless you and your journey, and merry belated Christmas. Oh, well, how nice.
Right.
Okay, the next one. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
The next one is from Ace, and he says, well, his question is more like, how did you find did you have to dig deep into your soul to get past the fact of what people thought of how you thought people would think you were looking? That's kind of confusing, but I actually understand that.
I think I understand what he's saying, yes, because I'm sorry.
No, hello. It's somebody's phone button.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you could hear. It was a very tough thing because when I initially thought about competing, I did have to dig deep because, you know, we always like to look at ourselves as being normal, if you want to put quote-unquote normal, acceptable. You know, we never want to feel like we're the odd one out. We don't want to be the standout for something that we feel is different in a negative way. So I really had to get used to accepting that amputation and accepting myself for who and what I am. At times, I had a hard time with that early on in my journey. I would always wear pants. I would never wear shorts. And because I did not want what I perceived as negative attention. So, of course, making the decision to compete as an amputee, okay, you're revealing yourself to everyone. Everyone knows that you're an amputee. And though it might be easy for others to say, well, hey, you know, that's admirable, or hey, that's a good thing for you, you know what you used to look like and maybe what you used to feel like having both legs. So it really took a lot of digging deep to be able to do that and feel comfortable with it, and then over time to actually feel, you know, proud or a sense of accomplishment within yourself about what you're able to now do. So, yes, I had to dig deep for that, and that came over time.
Boy, I can only imagine. And another one is actually a surprise to me. This is from Gabriel, and I think we got somebody that's a fan of natural bodybuilding because he said, with the success of your cousin, Donovan, did that make it even tougher to try and get on stage after seeing his success?
It really didn't. I've always been a person to kind of just try to pay attention to myself and stay in my own lane, so to speak. I think with bodybuilders, I think that's one thing we always have to remember, that, you know, we're uniquely us, who we are. You know, each person, you know, we all have our uniqueness, and we only can do what we can do. And I think when you start to worry too much about someone else, that takes you out of you. And so that was never part of my journey, thank God. And even now as I compete, I really don't concern myself with who's going to be there or this person or that person. I try to just concern myself with honestly being the best me. Now, if I know that I've put my best foot forward and I'm presenting the best package I can, I don't worry about the rest. Yep. And that's something that has, you know, come over time. Sometimes you have to, I think, evolve to that. If that isn't your way of thinking, I think that is something, you know, good to have. You know, it really takes the stress out of worrying about anybody else but yourself.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Words for anyone competing.
Oh, yeah.
The one factor of this all that we haven't touched on yet is through all these other things that, you know, you were dealing with, striving with, rising above, you also still had a daughter that you were raising at the same time. The only question is, man, is wow. So you're dealing with the loss of your wife, you're dealing with the loss of your limb, you just opened a business, and you're still a dad. How did that factor into everything that you had going on? That's probably not even the right way to phrase that, but I think you get
the thing.
How did you balance that too?
You know, I think that's a good question, and I think you phrased it well. That was tough because, you know, you're still looked upon as to be a strong figure and a good example, you know, for your children. So I always put my best foot forward for that, but I also allowed her to see some of the pain and vulnerability, which I believe that was really looking at her now, and I tell you, I have to brag on her. She's a straight-A student, has been that way for a while. I have to say, allowing her to see pain and vulnerability, I feel it brought us closer. It allowed her to be able to see me as not, you know, sometimes a person kind of puts a falsehood forward, and I think that allowed her to see life for what it really is, and humanity, and when tragedy hits, to see how it touches the lives of various people, even her dad. I think it allowed her to see the tremendous love that I have for her mother. So then, again, I said the support system. My sister, my mom, really became a mom for her. They helped me raise her. They were a great support, you know, when I needed help. I mean, it could be pick up from school or drop off, or, you know, if I didn't check the homework, then they checked the homework. And, you know, just all those various things. So, again, you know, some of us aren't fortunate enough or blessed enough to have a good support system. But when you do, it's something that is priceless. And I've been fortunate enough to have that.
That is. I mean, and it is priceless. And I think this plays into the last question we had from our listeners. His name is Dale. And his question was how your daughter has been dealing with all of this. And it looks like, I mean, I've only peered into that aspect of your life through Facebook, but she seems to be a very resilient young woman. As you said, she's straight A. You're very mm-hmm. proud of her, very accomplished. And granted, she was very young, but as you said, she watched you through this whole experience. How has she been dealing with it all?
Oh, yes. This is a great question again. She has been dealing with this very good, you know, given the circumstances. She remembers, believe it or not, some things about her mom. And there are times that we'll sit and talk. We'll bring out some pictures and sit and talk. And anything that
wow.
she wants to ask me, you know, I always let her know that I'm open to however, whatever you want to ask me about your mom and I's relationship, you know, how we met and, you know, just some of the things we used to do. And there have been moments in time when she did have her questions. And even now, something might happen, and she might just ask a question out the blue. You know, Dad, did my mom ever do this? And I would just, you know, simply with no stress, I could say, oh, you know, yeah, you know what, your mom liked that too. Sometimes she would do this or do that. And I find it, even for me, I'm comfortable with, there are times I'll see something. Matter of fact, a few nights ago, she just got her hair done, and the hairstyle just really made her look even more like her mom. And I looked at her, and I kind of shook my head, and I said, boy, you really look like your mom. And she just smiled, and I think that brings her comfort. And then my mom looked at her, and she said, too, you know, boy, she sure looks like Sandra. So, you know, I think there's a it has impacted her, but I think by us being so open about how we express ourselves, and then open to her expressing herself and just having any questions that she might have that she can be free with asking or stating anything she wants, and not feeling like, you know, that subject's taboo or we can't talk about this or we can never, you know, open up that door again. You know, it's always an open door for her. So I think because of that, she has handled things really well. And I've even had moments when I've had to comfort her. You know, she's cried or said, you know, she's missed her mom. And, you know, at those moments, we talk about it. We hug. We comfort each other. And then, you know, once things settle down, then we move on.
Man, that is special. And I just
beautiful.
Have to say, the maturity that comes from children that go through a struggle of that nature that just surpasses what we consider what a child's mind can understand or accept. So I know that's a blessing for you, where you have to smile, especially being a dad, and just, you know, smile down for a moment. And, you know, my goodness, dude, I just love this. I thank God for times like this. And I can remember, you know, just like when Dan was talking about the Facebook and the social media, when you had shared, you know, what was being said, and there was actually someone that came on with a comment and actually tried to get you to speak against God, and I was just kind of floored by that. But I'm sure that people, like you said, don't see things. We are all unique, and sometimes our testimony has to be said in a way that people can relate, because obviously this person didn't understand the blessings that came from that. And I know it sounds weird to people that don't really get a bad situation where you say, you know, if God was there, then none of this would have happened. And you can't say that. It's more to the point of there's something that had to happen, and thank God that was all that happened. And I'm sure, you know, I love your response, and I'll let you relay that.
Well, you know, I, even now looking back, whenever we look back, you know, I remember my father used to say to me, and it took me time to understand this because I was so young, well, son, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. And in a way, we can pull a lot of good things from that. There are times where I believe God, he doesn't just explain it all out to us because he wants us to develop character, develop discernment, develop many things. So when we look back on something, it starts to clarify itself for us, like, see why that happened, and I can kind of understand that. And even now, by being on this broadcast, I see now the impact that my life has had, even my wife's life has had, my daughter's life, on many other people. And, you know, sometimes even if it's just one person that has been positively impacted by your journey or your testimony or your story, that's a huge blessing. That you give someone else a little bit of fuel, a little energy to continue on, because they do look and say, if that person made it out, I know I'm going through like fire right now, but I have more hope now to know that it won't consume me. It won't, you know, utterly destroy me. This person made it out, so I believe I can too. So you've given that person some fighting hope just from your testimony. And I had to, by uniquely going through this, it did allow me to see how people can be mad with God. I was upset with God. I went through a phase of that. And that's why I said to her initially, I can understand why you would say this. Because I was upset. You know, we feel like God is there as our protector when we can't protect ourselves. Why would he do this? And it's more of a thing of God allows certain things to happen. Not that I feel he creates or actually initiates them to happen per se, but ultimately, God knows all things. So he knows the beginning from the end. So though something could look so tragic now, God can see far into the future how even still beneficial it will be for many others. So he knows how to make all things work together for good, ultimately.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes us as humans, we may not be able to see that fully, but over time you can start to see how that picture is turning into a much more beautiful picture.
And
it
even more
time.
So, that it does take time, and the mental image that I have in my head right now is really just one of a phoenix coming out of the ashes, because I feel like that's what your journey has been thus far. And, you know, just to kind of tie this back all together, before this all happened, you were an amateur bodybuilding competitor, and
yes,
you are now a pro.
Yep.
Bodybuilding competitor. So I mean, you have just come and just battled back and gone above and beyond in so many areas. And so tell us about that pro card that you won as an amputee? I mean, and you've gone on to compete in the Natural Olympia. You just competed this year. You look phenomenal. Just that whole experience and what it's been like getting back on the stage, because at first it was just kind of a one and done. I have to do this, not knowing what was going to happen. And then you just keep doing.
Oh, yeah. It has definitely, even having the gym has been a therapy for me. It's a stress reliever. It's therapy for me. I even have had so many people who come into the gym, which I love hearing that from them, where they say, Danny, I just feel good sometimes just coming in here. Sometimes I just come in here, get a good workout. There are good people in here. There's a good vibe, a good spirit, and I just feel good. And that's what it's supposed to be about. I initially, of course, started, as you said, the kind of one-and-done situation. But then I kind of hooked up with my cousin, and we talked and collaborated, and he said, Danny, I think you could definitely get your pro card. I know we could get you into much better shape. So we worked together. He did the nutrition portion. I just kept up with my workouts that I had and things that I would normally do. And it came together so beautifully. And, again, I competed against guys who did not have any physical ailments at all. And I was able to become – I was victorious in winning my pro card at the Philip Ricardo in 2014. And I won the Open and won the 40 and over, and they had a physically challenged division and won that. So, yep, the Legends Classic. And it just felt great. I was so overjoyed. That was probably one of the most happy moments in my life. And I just felt so accomplished. And I worked my butt off, and the hard work paid off. And from there, it was like the bug was in there. You know, I'm a competitive person. It was like, you know, all right, got to keep going. Try this next one. Okay, well, try this next one. All right, well, try this next one. So, you know, it just, you know, it continued. And now, you know, it's a passion. It's a love. You know, we know how hard it is for us to diet down and to get into good, you know, contest shape. But though it's grueling, we still love it. You know, there's still something and of a great sense of accomplishments once you have gotten yourself into the best shape you possibly can, and then you're ready to, you know, grace the stage. So now I'm just trying to perfect things more and more each year. So I feel like now I'm competing against myself, just saying, all right, Danny, the deal is now bring a better package than last year. Okay, now bring a better package than the year before. So each time I'm just telling myself, if I can bring a better package and just start to climb up the ladder little by little, then I'm doing good.
Oh,
and
wait,
you can definitely tell.
Hold on. We got one more question. And it's how in the heck do you get your hamstrings so tight on that amputated leg? Your physique has always been fascinating, but it's just amazing how you do that with your hamstrings.
So the call, I said, thank you very much. I try to work my legs extremely hard. And, you know, I think because of being the amputee, in the back of my mind, it's always work the legs hard. So I don't have any mercy on them. And I try to work each side equally. I do not do a lot of unilateral, or should I say isolateral, exercises for hamstrings. I do them together. You know, I hit the leg curls. My whole hamstring workout is usually seated leg curls and stiff leg deadlifts, primarily with the bar, but sometimes I'll throw in the dumbbells a little, and that's it. I mean, there's nothing really fancy to tell you about the hamstrings. I wish I could tell you a secret or something special I do, but that's really it.
You know, and I'm glad that our listener asked that question, because when I saw your photos from the Natural Olympia and you have a shot from behind, a nephew of mine is just graduating from Loma Linda in physical therapy with an emphasis in prosthetics. And the exact phrase that I said is, look at the symmetry of this individual. And I was talking specifically about your legs because I was just so amazed, because it took me a minute. I didn't notice your prosthetic right away when I was looking at the picture, because I was just taking in, you know, all the muscle that was there and the form. And then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at, you know, he has a prosthetic. And so that really jumped out to me. And then the point that I wanted to make earlier is that you really can tell that you love what you're doing when you're on stage, or at least it looks that way to me, because all of the pictures that I see, you have this most amazing smile on your face. Like, this is, you are in your happy place and you are just enjoying every minute of it, every minute of it. So yeah. I definitely think that shines through.
I really appreciate it
when you're
that.
Out
I
there.
I really appreciate it. And I do love it. And I've, and you know, it's something that I feel blessed to have. I seem to love doing it more and more as I continue to do it, if that makes any sense. It's as I continue in this path with the bodybuilding, it seems like I'm starting to love it more and more. And I'm thankful to God that he has given me this and allowed me to have this as an outlet, as a therapy, as a platform to be, you know, a motivation and hopefully inspiration for others. And I look at it as such, and I know that, you know, I feel it with as that, that's the platform that God had for me to say, hey, you know what, I had this for you, and you know what, this is going to bring some peace and comfort to your life, but also it's going to be able to be a platform for you to be a motivation and inspiration for others who are going through, you know, whatever.
I'm loving this. I think it's so funny because what I'm hearing, it's someone, they sent a message and they said, wow, this guy is as inspirational and motivational as Paul was when he did his Did You Guys show. And I said, well, they know each other. And he's like, what?
Oh, yeah. Paul is a great guy. Oh, yeah.
Now, but there is a camaraderie that happens in this sport, and I, you know, as a person that has competed in other sports, I can tell you that it's bar none, the camaraderie happens, because you know there's something that happens on stage that doesn't translate to off stage. There's good competition on stage, but there's a lot of friendship when you step off.
Oh, most definitely.
So,
you know, Paul and
I speak often.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
No, I say we speak and. And, you know, that's what I love about bodybuilding. You can, you know, you can be competitive on the stage, but the love and, you know, the brotherly love and sisterly love that you can have afterwards, you know, helping each other, giving each other advice. And that's what it's about. You know, yes, it's a competitive sport also, but it's so easy to still have that love amongst each other. And I see that a lot, and I really like that and within bodybuilding. I'm starting to see it more and more.
Yeah. Well, and I hope it's something we continue to see, because I know that's something we all appreciate in our own personal experiences. And with that, I know we probably don't have enough time to cover everyone that you would like to give shout-outs to, but we always like to give time when we have time to our guests to give shout-outs to the folks that have been instrumental to them along their journey. So would like to turn the floor over to you to give some shout-outs.
I tell you, there are so many. My mom, Frances Strong, Tawana Strong, Jennifer and Timmy Strong, they're my brothers and sisters and my mom. My daughter, Danielle, Adriana, Nabil, Ava. It's so many people. Donovan Strong, Mike Maynard, Omar Ekwe, Darius Triplett. And I'm sure I am forgetting some people, but the various organizations out there that I've competed with, the IMBA, PMBA, the MPC, I've had, you know, good success with both, and the people have always been well-receiving of me, And I'm thankful to you all for helping me, giving me this opportunity to share my story, and hopefully somebody out there has been touched or moved or uplifted in some type of way to push forward.
You don't have to worry about that. It's like 27 people just saying, thank you so much for having him on this show. He's an amazing fella, a super nice guy in person as well as not what you portray is who you are. I guess that's what they're trying to get out. Yeah.
I appreciate that, truly.
Well, and I think you can count Kaylin and I among that number of folks that have been motivated and blessed this evening as well. So we really want to thank you, Daniel, for taking the time and sharing your story as openly as you have. It really has been a blessing, I would say.
Thank you so much.
I have a snick
thank
little
you
smile.
So much. Okay. And thank you all again for having
thank
me.
You. Thank
okay.
you. Have an awesome night and a wonderful new year.
You too. Happy New Year to you all and all the listeners.
Yes.
So what an awesome way to start the last week in 2016 than with a story like that. Especially
right.
as you're looking forward to 2017, I really feel like, oh my gosh, there's nothing that I shouldn't be able to do now.
You know, isn't it humbling? Isn't it humbling?
Yes.
And just, you know, his energy and everything else is just so amazing. And you just see the power of God when we truly let him inside of our lives, not just where we word him, but we actually let him be us and fulfill us and be us and when we're out there with the masses. Because speaking of mass, I mean, doesn't he have like the perfect name for bodybuilding?
Yeah, no doubt, right? No, the perfect name just for so many analogies in life in general. So,
I had to play his name at the beginning of the show. It's just too easy.
Oh, yeah, it was a miss. I caught it. It was a good one. And speaking of good ones, on Thursday, our last show of 2016, we are finally going to get back to roll call. Yep, it is our last show of 2016. We just had so many one-on-one opportunities that have popped up, especially in this last month and even going into January and even into February, if you believe it or not, that we have not been as active with the roll call as we had wanted to be, but we are definitely picking that back up. And we've got two great ladies that are going to be joining us on Thursday, so do tune in for that. And then the week after that, Kaylin and I are doing our year in review. We're going to have our top 10 most listened to podcasts for the year, and we are going to have some special guests helping us with the hosting of the show. So you're going to want to dial in for that. Listen in, call in.
Yes. That's so much fun. The year in review is like it's so much fun because there's certain things that we'd love to talk about because of the time limit on the show, sometimes we don't cover everything. Okay, and this is one of them. So Des, I'll let you go ahead and finish it out.
And well, you know, you always have the last word with Snickerdoodle.
It's got to be Snickerdoodle.
So on behalf of myself, Kaylin, and the boys with P4P Muscle, your body's a temple. Let's build it.
With snickerdoodle and chocolate.